Welcome to Taking Notes, the Lotus Notes and Domino podcast. Here are your hosts, Bruce Elgort and Julian Robichaud.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 14 of the Taking Notes podcast for Sunday, February 12th, 2006. I am Bruce Elgort, here with
Julian Robichaud.
And we're here to talk about everything Lotus Notes and Domino. So Julian, how have your weeks after Lotusphere been?
Boy, I've been unbelievably busy. Well, and I mean, gosh, we haven't podcasted in, what, 2 weeks?
Probably since the Kevin Kavanaugh interview at Lotusphere.
Yeah, so what have we been doing?
Well, let's see. Wednesday night at Lotusphere, we were at SeaWorld, and yeah. It was pretty nippy outside, pretty cold outside, and I just felt, you know, I started sneezing a lot, and I just felt that something was coming on. So Wednesday night, after SeaWorld, got back to the room, didn't have time to party with you guys, I just started sneezing my head off, and then I woke up Thursday morning sick as a dog. And you know what Thursday morning was, right?
That would be the last day of Lotusphere, your session.
Right. So here I am. Yeah. I have to present, you know, my session, and I just felt like crap. But
you sounded good, though.
Well, thank you. I think adrenaline kicked in, and everything turned out pretty well. So and after that, you know, for the following week after Lotusphere, I guess the last week of January and into February, I was still under the weather. So I don't think anyone wanted to hear me, you know, sneezing my head off and sounding really sickly over the podcast. How about yourself?
No, me. I've just been busy with work, and this last week has just been crazy. And then, you know, I had the camera shoved down my throat. I had that little medical endoscopy thing, and so. But I'm all better now, and so my throat is good. So we can finally podcast. I mean, there are people that their lives probably simply stopped. They're on pause right now, waiting for this podcast.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, I am, you know, our podcast is fairly new, and we're fairly young podcasters in terms of, you know, some of the other shows out there. But, you know, whatever, we do this for the community out there. And as I was starting to say, I don't know what you heard, but I heard a lot of positive feedback on the podcast, and like, oh, you're Julian Robichaud, or you're Bruce Elgort. And it was kind of cool. And did you see we have two ratings up on the iTunes Music Store now? Two people left some great ratings. So if anyone out there does use iTunes, you do have the ability to write a review, good or bad. You know, we take it either way, because constructive feedback is healthy.
Now, so since Lotusphere, okay, so we're back. We've been working for a couple of weeks. Gosh, I'm trying to think of the big things I just sort of came back with. I mean, other than, you know, yes, we're all excited and one big happy Lotus family. Gosh, I'm trying to think of the things I told my manager that really were kind of a big deal. Same time, I mean, obviously that was you know, that was the big surprise for me. So, you know, I really talked a lot about what the new same time features are going to be, and how that's all supposed to work. And that was kind of exciting to know that coming.
Same here.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, we're like right now at work, we're not on Note 7. I don't know about you guys, if you updated or upgraded or anything like that.
Well, we're an exchange shop.
Oh, that's right.
Right. So don't tell anyone, but I live the day job as an IT manager for a large exchange shop. So I know all the truths about Exchange and Microsoft products. So
that's right. So enough about you.
Yeah. Okay.
but with the new same time, I'll be curious to see if, I mean, it's, the number is same time 7.5.
Right.
So that's going to be coming up, you know, sometime in the summer, I think they said, or whatever. And that may actually be what ends up prompting us to move to Note 7. I'm not really sure.
And we're not sure yet, based upon some of the conversations we had at Lotusphere, what kind of client we're going to see with 7.5 as far as same time goes, right?
Right.
It's going to be the Eclipse plugin, or it's just going to be the, you know, the poor man's chat client and the notes client. So that's still yet to be determined, I believe.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, I've played around with Note 7. I haven't really, we're not doing anything in production. I guess Note 7.0.1 just came out, right?
Yes. 701 did come out Monday, I believe.
Yeah, and that's you know, it's interesting because I think that there's a lot of people who are reluctant to install a 7.0 version of anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always wait for the first bug fix. And there were, I mean, how many hundreds of bug fixes?
There were 575 bugs fixed in 7.0.1.
Yeah, so, and who knows how many of those are critical bugs versus if you're using the Arabic Notes client, the letter E doesn't show up right. You know, it's kind of hard to say.
There was an issue, though, that Vince found when we migrated the OpenNTF server to 7.0.1, something with formulas and the 64K limit snuck its ugly head back in. And I think IBM is taking some action, as noted by Rocky Oliver on his blog. So we're to stay tuned this week, because if you had some formulas like we did on the OpenNTF site that were working with data greater than 64K, it no longer works the way you think it works. So
yeah.
you can see. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, remind me of what that is. Now, if I remember right, it's that intermediate results within formula language. You can get results that are greater than 64K in DB lookups or things like that, as long as the end result of the formula is 64K or less. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
So
now the intermediate stuff just doesn't work, huh?
Correct.
Wow.
There were a couple other postings on some people's blogs about other issues I had. I don't recall them, but, you know, it's software. There's always going to be bugs.
Sure there are. So, but
getting back to Lotusphere, you know, we talked about same time 7.5. It, you know, clients on the Mac, client on Linux, client on the PC, on Windows. That looks great. You know, we talked about in our other podcast the fact that you could send screen snippets. I mean, I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Snagit is my best friend. Snagit, I think, version 8. What a great product to do that. But now having that built right into the same time client, that's cool.
Yeah, that's neat. And then the little surveys you can do and things like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, that's something I've never wanted to do, but hey, if the functionality's there, maybe I'd like to do it. Maybe it will be fun. Hey, when do you guys want to go to lunch? You know,
yeah, do a poll. Make it fun, right? See results in real time. Collaborate about lunch, over lunch. what about Hanover? You know, I spent some time in a lab playing with the Hanover client. I think it's not your mother's notes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it is totally, you know, a refined UI. And a lot of the talk that's been going on in the blogosphere world about, you know, note sucks kind of stuff is, I think, finally going to be, how would you say? It's finally going to be a thing of the past if we get Hanover in and they do it the way that we saw it at Lotusphere.
Yeah, well, you know, there's always going to be people who just don't like it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you'll never get rid of the whole I hate notes thing, because there's some people who hate it just because it's notes.
Yeah, and like I said before, there has been a lot of buzz in the blogosphere. I haven't really participated or paid much attention to it. And Rocky Oliver actually had a post on his blog today or yesterday, I believe, about you know, not just doing a pylon thing. You know, I would suggest heading over to Rocky Oliver's blog, lotusgeek.com, take a look at it. I can't pull it up right now. Actually, I could pull it up. So I don't want to spend too much time on it. I think it's worthless. You know, there was an article in The Guardian as well. And, you know, I mean, how would you say it? Everyone always picks on the big guys, right? Look at Microsoft and all the viruses they get, you know? I mean,
yeah.
You know, I don't know if that made much sense to you, but I mean, people tend to, you know, pick on the popular guys, you know? No, I'm kidding.
Well, it's an easy target.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
You know, it is. Now, on the positive side, we have this whole anti-FUD, yellow is the new black kind of movement going on.
Right.
I guess Rich Schwartz has his yellowisthenewblack.com, I think, is the site.
Right, Rich and, does. It's a group blog.
Yeah, and then we've got the IBM...
anti-FUD blog.
The anti-FUD blog that you know, I don't know that I've subscribed to that yet. I need to put that in my RSS reader. Has that been very active?
I haven't either, and I think Tom Duff has a link to it somewhere, or a post, or Chris Byrne as well. So I have to, like, you know, we haven't podcasted. We haven't had time to do anything, so... just on Rocky's blog, getting back to that, it's Let's Move to Inform Criticism and Civil Discourse. It was dated February 12, 2006. So take a read at that. I think Rocky does a good job of explaining how he feels. And, you know, on Ed's blog, you know, it just seems lately, I mean, I don't want to criticize Ed, but it just seems like we're just constantly fighting instead of being on the, well, this kind of sound kind of weird, but we're constantly fighting, you know, the FUD and trying to say, we're better, and one of the things that I have tried to do over the years, and I've showed you, Julian, and some other people some examples, is blog about, you know, without giving away, you know, who the company is and all this other kind of stuff, successes that I've had with, you know, Notes and Domino, and how, you know, the solutions saved companies lots of money and made them very successful.
Yeah, so. And really, I guess you're talking on a very specific kind of, here's exactly what the application we did. I mean, I think there's people that sort of make these general sweeping statements that say, oh, well, sure, Notes saved our company $2.5 million last year somehow, but you never really find out how or what they've done or whatever. I mean, you've got, I guess, a couple of applications on your site that you talked about that are very specifically, here's what it does, right?
Right. And, yeah. And I, you know, I go through examples, I show screenshots, and, you know, one of the cases I was able to talk about the company name because they're just a former employee and I had no, you know, obligations not to disclose who they are. But it was, and I can tell you firsthand that I worked very closely with users, and they're the ones who, you know, drove and typically drive the application development process. It's not like, well, Note sucks and we're not going to help you. You know, they understand that this is the tool that they use to do their job, and they know that we, you know, the development team or the development teams that I used to work with, develop good stuff, you know? So
yeah, and you know, frankly, that's how my organization is too, where, you know, really it's not always user-driven. A lot of times the IT department says, okay, let's take on this initiative. But, you know, frankly, yeah, the users are, as long as you give them something that's useful for them, they don't care what you're using.
Right. It becomes transparent after a while.
Sure.
You know, how many people hate their jobs? You know, I was reading some statistics lately that in the IT industry, you know, our industry, it was over 60%. So, you know, get over all this stuff, you know. getting back to podcasting, Julian, the Kevin Kavanaugh interview.
I told you I was going to get stats for that. I will do that as we're talking here.
Okay. Well, we'll pick up on that when you retrieve the data.
What were the last numbers I gave you?
I thought it was like close to 600.
Yeah.
So hopefully your number's not lower now.
yeah, and actually I've got that podcast on, that file is on two different sites right now.
That's right.
Just to spread the bandwidth out.
Yeah, you guys are just downloading too much. So that interview with Kevin was great, though. I get a lot of feedback, even from my friends who are outside the Notes and Domino world who do listen to the podcast. They're like, that was great. You know, Kevin was
here's a fantastic interview.
Very, very. If you could only see the room when we were sitting there, you know, it was kind of, you know, we had this big round table. It must have been, you know, 6 or 7 feet between each of us, and it was just kind of weird. But it worked out well.
Yeah, he was a very nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I thought he wouldn't be, but you know, just emphasize that.
That's
okay,
right.
So on one of the sites here, I've got 355 requests. Let me check the other one, and we can talk about something else while we're.
Yeah, and one of the things that I would like to talk about is some of the feedback that I received during Lotusphere was that we don't do enough technical podcasts. And we'd like to hear from you as to specifically, I mean, this podcast is for you. You know, we don't get paid. We don't want to get paid by sponsors to do podcasts and give you infomercials. We want to give you things you want to hear about and learn about in the Notes Domino, Same Time, Quick Place, you know, world, etc. So feel free to send an email, post on this podcast on the blog, you know, in the comments area. You know, what you guys want to see and what you want to hear. We're not doing
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, you know, we have no intention to do video podcasts right now, which would be a great thing. But, you know, tell us what you want to hear about.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to say that, boy, you know, trying to do a truly technical podcast that's a little bit tough.
Yeah.
Just because you know you can't you can't demonstrate any of the things you're talking about.
It's hard enough doing it during a session.
Oh, sure.
So, did you find those stats, buddy?
Yeah, still pulling them up. I've got, well, it's that one is separated by month. So I've got 30 this month, and let me check.
Yeah, while Julian is still adding up those numbers,
yeah, sorry about that.
Chris Stoner published an excellent document out on DeveloperWorks, which details all the fields and for the calendaring and scheduling system within Notes and Domino. You know, I always thought there was maybe a page full, but I think there's like 125 pages of documentation on the calendaring and scheduling system. So I think on nsftools.com, which is Julian's blog, he has a blog posting to it, right, Julian?
Yes, I do. And yeah, that was a couple of days ago.
Yeah, and then you said offline that Chris was soliciting some more information about.
Right. So yeah, and I didn't actually. I'm not sure what she was originally referring to. In terms of maybe in Meet the Developers, or at some point, I guess there was a lot of discussion about calendaring and scheduling. And so, yeah, the first post on LDD, which was earlier this week, or last week, I guess, was a link to that PDF that you're talking about. And
right.
Boy, that was just some great information.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, the whole thing was there was, I think, the first 90 pages or so were discussing kind of the schema and how everything works. Then the last, I think, 30 or 40 pages were all of those fields, those dollar sign fields,
mm-hmm.
that are just completely mysterious, but they're very important to the, like, a calendar document. And it says what they are and what the valid entries are for them and what kind of documents they show up on. It was, I've just never seen that reference before anywhere.
Right.
So that was, yeah, that was neat. And then later on, I guess maybe Thursday, Friday or something like that, Chris Stoner followed up with another post on LDD asking, and I probably ought to pull it up, but I'm just going to go from memory here. I think it was if we published an API for the calendaring and scheduling functionality, what would you like to see? Would you like to be a C API or a LotusScript API? What kind of things would you expect it to do? How would you expect it to work? That sort of thing. And yeah, that's kind of neat. Mm-hmm. You know, from simple things, well, it's not simple if you try to do it, just if you try to figure out how it works, but something like how to programmatically create a repeating calendar entry.
Right.
I mean, that's next to impossible if you go and try to figure out what all the fields are and how the documents get created and things like that. Boy, if they had an API where you just said, you know, dim doc as new calendar document, and, you know, kind of make a few API calls, and boom, you have this repeating entry for the first Monday of every month for the next year. Boy, that would be neat. And so it looks like they're soliciting some feedback anyway. So go over to LDD or www.notes.net, you know, however you get there, and go and look for that entry, which I think was on Friday, and really, you know, give them some feedback, because that would be a great thing to have available, I think.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Kudos to Chris Stoner and the team developing that document. That's for years. You know, I remember writing, you know, code that put calendar entries on people's, you know, calendars, and having had this document years ago would have been just of tremendous value. But again, kudos.
Oh, yeah.
So okay, did you find that number?
I got the number. The number from on the NSF Tools site, which is where we had originally posted the podcast file, the February number was like 30. In January, the total download for that particular MP3 file was 1,592.
Wow.
Although it looks like some amount of those were partial downloads.
Right.
Now, from my site, actually, it streams. So I think a lot of times people will start streaming and then stop or
something
like that.
Boy, this podcast sucks. I'm not going to listen to it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was just terrible. And it's kind of hard to tell which ones are partial and which ones are full. But, you know, definitely based on the bandwidth that was used, there were a lot of full, if not, you know, either almost the full download or the entire thing, because that just ate up my bandwithin January.
Wow.
So yeah, a lot of people.
Getting back to Lotusphere, you know, again, great show, lots of great energy, lots of great product announcements, and, you know, now it's kind of the lull after Lotusphere. You know, we're waiting for products that we can test in beta. There was one thing that we didn't get a chance to talk about. Was the closing session, right? Jim Garaffigan, the comedian.
Oh,
that guy.
Hot Pockets.
No, it's
that guy.
Yeah, the guy from Comedy Central. I thought he did a great job. I think I've seen him once before, and you know, I was laughing my tail off. And another thing that we didn't talk about was that during the closing general session, it was a couple of things. One is my fiance Gail was in the Lotus store trying on those yellow boxing gloves that they sold for $53. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you know, she's looking at him, and the next thing she knows, there's a camera staring her in the face. And they're like, come on, do something, do something. So she punches them together. Then I don't know if you saw it during the closing session. There was picture of Gail, a quick little thing of her doing that. It was kind of funny. But there was a couple things. Before the closing general session began, they had quotes from bloggers and I guess podcasters too, you know, with some of the quotes that they had on their blogs, you know, about some of the announcements and stuff going on at Lotusphere. And then there was a slide, I think, during Sergeet's section. Well, he was the only one who spoke, that actually posted, I think, 4 or 5 blogger comments. It was kind of neat. You know, I thought it was great that Lotus recognizes some of the people out there in the blogging community who are, you know, have good and bad opinions. You know, well, these were all good opinions, of course, but.
and certainly, I, you know, there was some discussion during one of the BOFs about the Lotus blogging community and is everyone just kind of a Me Too? Is that the kind of community it is? And it's interesting because just recently we've had this huge debate of workplace versus bookmarks.
Workspace
versus bookmarks. And, you know, people aren't really that afraid to really kind of speak out and say, yes, I like this or I don't like this. And, you know, you're right, you're wrong, that sort of thing. So mm-hmm. I think that was a good demonstration of the fact that, no, it's not just we're all just sitting around holding each other's hands and staring into each other's eyes and just loving Lotus. You know, there are certainly people. People have strong opinions about the product, and they'll come out there and say, you know, boy, I hate this or this works great, and you know, it's neat to see that sort of debate or I don't know if it's an argument, but that all those different opinions.
Yeah, just some other feedback. You know, you mentioned the Lotus Domino, the Lotus Notes blogging community, the session. We had that session last year for the first time, and then this year. And this year, for the most part, it seemed like there were fewer people in the session than there were last year, and there were very few new people. You know, was it maybe less than 10-15% of the people in that room were new?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell. I'm not really sure. I'm not sure what we were up against either, to be honest. I don't know what else was going on.
Yeah. Okay. So you know that's it for Lotusphere. You know, again, it was great. It was well done. You know, I didn't. There was no letdowns in my personal opinion. There was no quick place. By the way, I don't know if there was only I think one or two sessions on quick place. And you know, I run a large quick place installation, and
on exchange,
yeah. And there was a great session that talked about the future of QuickPlace, and it does have a future. It looks like they're going to expand it a lot, and I would download the slides if they're still available. I think I have them, and I can post them on the Lotusphere Wiki that Ben Poole put up. But you know, Lotus QuickPlace wasn't talked about that much. But again, it does have a future. You know, I use it with a bunch of marketing and salespeople, which it works well for, and it looks like it does have a future beyond its current 7.0 incarnation. So,
oh, interesting. Now, actually, as you were talking, I remember there was one more topic from Lotusphere that I haven't really heard much about since it was I think in the opening session they mentioned
Wanda.
This whole Project Wanda thing.
Yeah,
the notes on a USB key.
They made a big deal out of it. I mean, they had They had USB keys, sushi USB keys, a thumb, thumb USB keys. I mean, they did make a big deal about it. And then, I mean, it's funny you mention this, but Erlich Krauss of in Germany actually posted something on his blog on www.eknori.de on how to do just that, how to put the Notes client on a USB key.
Right, and frankly, the Notes client is probably a really good candidate because it doesn't. It's not like a Windows program that installs DLLs all over the place or has these dependencies on some built-in Windows apps. I mean, really, Notes has always been you have your Notes directory, and that's pretty much where everything is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess the trick, I think what Ulrich had to do was something about the notes.ini file, making sure that it's pointing to the right drive.
Right,
and
he
right
fixed
directory.
That. I think he fixed that.
Did he? Yeah, I think that's what his program does, that it just kind of goes and rewrites the INI file to say, okay, if your USB key is drive E, then it rewrites all of the Notes INI stuff to drive E, and then if it's drive F, then it rewrites to F or whatever. But, that's a neat concept. I mean, that was something that, honestly, I had never thought about before, but, boy, that would be handy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there was kind of another sort of underlying technology that it's being used, and I can't remember what the name of it is, where there's this kind of movement of people who are trying to put all sorts of things like that on USB keys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the concept is that you plug it in, and then some of the implementations I've seen, actually they'll check the computer that you're plugging into and make sure it doesn't have like a key logger. Program. If it does, it won't even run the programs. And then, the other concept is you kind of are able to plug a USB key in, run whatever programs are on there, and unplug it, and there's just not a trace of anything on the computer you were on. So you're not leaving behind any kinds of passwords or files or anything like that, mm-hmm. which that's pretty cool. That would be handy.
I agree, and kudos to Ehrlich for posting about why wait for Wanda, right?
Exactly.
Hey, Julian, I heard from Michael Sampson of shared-spaces.com, and he sent us a talking news segment for this week. So,
Let's listen.
Let's listen. Hold on.
Hello, and welcome to Talking News for the week of February 6 to 10, 2006. This is Michael Sampson from Shared Spaces. The most interesting things to have happened this week is the launch by EMC into the small business market with its new Insignia line of small and medium business oriented products. A number of the products, most of the products in the Insignia line are currently focused on the storage area and storage devices and so on, but one of the things that they did, which will be of interest to you, is the release of an eRoom SMB edition. It is cut down in some ways in that some of the enterprise features such as load balancing across servers and LDAP directory integration and so on are not included, but the majority of the features out of eRoom are in the SMB edition, and it's priced competitively. I believe the pricing starts at $4.95 for 5 users and then goes up to $9.95 for 10 users. So very, very different for them. There's some comments and thoughts up on shedspaces.com if you're interested in learning more about what EMC is up to and what I see as being their 3 challenges in entering the SMB market. The second most interesting thing is that RIM has finally declared some details of the workaround technology for the upcoming workaround. The court is due to hear on February 24th final arguments about whether an injunction should be put in place because NTP has sued RIM over patent infringement. The judge is due to make a decision on the 24th, and if that happens, then RIM has finally, about 2 weeks ahead of that date, said here's the details of the workaround. It involves a software installation called Multimode Edition of BlackBerry. Servers have to be upgraded, BlackBerry devices have to be upgraded, and once the BlackBerry devices are upgraded and are operating in the US against a US-based BlackBerry server using a US-based carrier, then it will operate in US mode, which does not infringe on the NTP patents, but outside will operate in the standard way. So perhaps NTP would call that the NTP infringement mode. Anyway, again, there are some thoughts and analysis of this up on sharedspaces.com. In rounding up the collaboration news of the week, Quest Software released Discovery Wizard for SharePoint, an audit tool for discovering SharePoint servers, site collections, and sites within an IT environment. The Discovery Wizard provides a number of reports. It is available immediately, although the press release is not out till early next week. KCentric Software released version 3.0 of Please Review, its online editing server for enterprise customers. New features include an offline editing client, support for Microsoft PowerPoint, and support for editing of images, among others. I tried Please Review last year, was very impressed with it. Version 3 is available immediately. Dimension Data is partnering with Casal Technology to help Australian-based Lotus Notes and Domino shops optimize, keyword there, optimize their Notes and Domino environments, specifically aimed toward the consolidation and retirement of older Notes applications, conversion of custom Notes applications to new off-the-shelf software, and integration, extension, and migration from Notes to Microsoft's collaboration platform. Casal is working closely with Microsoft towards application migration of Notes applications. And second to last, Google integrated Gmail and Google Talk, enabling Gmail users to chat directly from the Gmail interface. Chat transcripts are saved in the Gmail message store. And finally, Mobius Management Systems released the Audit and Balancing System for Spreadsheet Compliance, a product for centralizing and managing the lifecycle of business-critical spreadsheets. Key features include secure user access to controlled spreadsheets. Users get to work within the Excel interface rather than having to go somewhere else. Controlled review and approval. Approvals and comments are tracked in the audit log, and further changes are prevented once the version is approved. And finally, archiving of spreadsheets. That too is available immediately. And rounding up the Notes and Domino blogs of the week, the UK Guardian has its own red flag to a bull article, and Ed comments on that. Ed also weighs in on the credibility of analysts. Volker and Richard Schwartz are arguing about the workspace and workspace icons. Bruce Algott, don't know if you've heard of him, points to Vince's release of OpenNTF's mail version 1.7a. Ben is still in love with his shuffle, and the business controls caddy is encouraging us to buy Danish in support of freedom, but this time his comments are not directed to freedom from fundamentalism out of Seattle. And finally, Duffbit has only reviewed 4 books this week. Don't know what's going on with him. Shared Spaces, getting ready for the Collaborative Technologies Conference in Boston in June. I have responsibility for 11 tracks and sessions at the conference, including calendaring, collaborative workspaces, architectures for collaboration, mobility, and solving document chaos. If you're interested in any of those, please get in contact with me, and I seriously recommend that you have a look at CTC 2006. The website is www.ctcevents.com. It would be great to have many of our listeners in attendance at that conference. It was really good last year, and we are hoping and working towards an equally very good conference this year. And also working on a number of white papers and article projects. Well, this ends Talking News for the week ended February 10. Again, I've gone over 5 minutes. I hope Bruce and Julian are okay with that. Hope you're all well. Have a great weekend and a great week ahead. Goodbye.
Michael, we truly enjoy your Talking News segment, and we welcome you back from your January vacation. And again, Michael Sampson of www.shared-spaces.com. So
yeah. So and then I guess we've been kind of rambling for however long we've been talking here. Was there anything else on our list of things we just had to get out of our system?
Yeah. I'm a big VMware advocate, and I work a lot with VMware. And have you seen this new free VMware server?
I've been to the beta page, which was loading very slowly on the day that I went to it. But who was it? Jack Dousman, I think.
Right, Jack. blogged about it.
I think he installed it and said it worked. I guess, yeah, we use, ESX.
Right,
the expensive one is.
The bare metal.
And boy, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love VMware Server, but I need to get my hands on the free one.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I read the beta page, and it looks like this VMware the free VMware Server product is going to replace the GSX offering. But
right, which that's the Windows-based one, right?
Right, which runs on top of Windows. But I read it a little more, and it kind of indicated that it was like a path to go from if you were a current GSX user, you could upgrade to this free VMware Server, but it really wasn't free. It was really hard to figure out whether it's really going to be free or not. So, yeah. Well, I guess we'll see over the next couple of weeks or months what that turns into. But it'd be interesting to hear about people out there, if you guys and girls run any of the Notes Domino applications. I mean, has anyone really run like a same time server in a VM? I mean, is it possible? Have you had good or bad experiences with it? You know, there are situations where you just can't afford new hardware and you want to, you know, put four to eight server nodes on a VM server. And because, I mean, I'm being asked to do server consolidation right now, and I have a separate same time server, a QuickPlace server, you know, and a couple of the Note servers. And could I really consolidate that same time server, you know, within, say, a VM on a VMware ESX installation? I don't know. I'm going to try it, but it's kind of interesting. You know, it's real time, more so than, you know, I mean, more so than an agent that's going to run in the background and collect documents and do certain things. So,
yeah, I know we've got a couple of production, just regular Note servers running on VMware right now, and they're just like regular servers.
Oh wow, that's good to hear.
So,
what about the Lotosphere Wiki?
I've been getting just slammed by hits from the Lotosphere Wiki.
What is it?
Talking about stats. What is it?
Yeah, what is it for those people out there who don't? Because I mentioned it earlier, and I'm like, oh, no one knows what it is.
Yeah, on Ben Poole's site, Ben Poole is the author of Domino Wiki, an OpenNTF application that is just a wiki that runs on Notes Domino. And he had a wiki set up this year for Lotosphere 2006. And what people did is, after Lotosphere, a lot of the speakers, including me and Bruce, went to one of the pages and added our presentations, the slides, any kind of documents or, you know, supporting material and things like that. There's one central page that all of the speakers can go and post links on. Mm-hmm. And you can say, okay, you know, for this session that I did, here's where my slides are, and here's where the sample database is, or the supporting information. And I've been getting a ton of hits from that page. I mean, in the thousands.
Yeah, because Lotus takes the stuff offline. So anyone who went to Lotosphere, you know, I think it's probably down now. I'm not too sure. But again, this is a great resource outside of Lotosphere for everyone to post their presentations. And if you haven't done so, if you were a speaker, I think there were 353 speakers at Lotosphere this year. You know, get the word out. Get people to post their presentations out there, because great resources for you to use.
Yeah, and in the true nature of a wiki, anyone can go and edit the page and add their information to it.
Right.
So you don't have to go and send an email to Ben or ask permission. You can just go right on there and put your links on there. Yeah, since I had my stats up from before, it looks like in the month of February, I've already gotten 2,927 refer hits from that page.
You're so popular.
So that's that's a fair amount.
Yeah, I haven't looked at my stats, but they are what they are. If someone wants to download mine, they can. So
it's there for you.
It's there for you, baby. Let's see. Just looking at the our little notes here, I think we covered everything we wanted to. You know.
Yeah. Now we've got a power tip too, I think.
No, no power tip today.
No,
but we do have a new segment that I recorded earlier this week. Called the OpenNTF Update, which just runs through new product release, well, new code releases and site updates, etc. And I would like to mention that the Jess Stratton, who done some of our power tips in the past, does have the February 2006 application of the month are EU Power Tools, which allows end users to easily create mailing labels and email signatures within their Notes client. So go check it out. It's right on the homepage, openntf.org. So, well, Julian, I'll play the OpenNTF update right after we're done here, and then we'll get Alex to send us out with his rockin' riff there. So,
outstanding.
And for those of you who sent all of those wonderful Valentine's Day gifts to Julianne and myself, we thank you publicly for all of them.
Oh, that was just wonderful.
Yeah, and you know, this is episode 14, and Valentine's Day is Tuesday, so Julianne, I'd just like to wish you a happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, well, thanks, Bruce. Well, happy Valentine's Day to you, too.
Yeah, I hope you like the new podcasting headphones I got you.
I'll try them out.
Just don't take any pictures. All right, so here's the OpenNTF update, and thanks again for listening to the Taking Notes podcast. We'll catch you a lot sooner than you expect. Well, a lot sooner than we did between the time it took to record the podcast on at Lotusphere and this one and the next one. So whatever, it's time for lunch
here.
At
some point in the near future, you will hear us again.
Thanks, Julian. You know, I can't talk today, so
that's all right.
That guy is weird.
That's weird, man.
Hot pockets.
All right, talk to you later, Bruce.
Bye bye. Hey everyone, it's Bruce here for the OpenNTF update for Thursday, February 9th, 2006. Well, first, let's start off in the latest project releases area. Spam Assassin integration version 0.1 has been released. Vacation Request Web version D is now out. Quick Elementor version 2.5. First Node, a new project on OpenNTF beta, is out. Mini CMS version 1.02e. Electronic Harassment Survey. EC Quotation, OpenNTF Mail Experience version 7, DOM Bulletin version 1.2. If you go to the OpenNTF homepage in the right column, you'll see a column called Latest Releases. Just click there to download any of these applications, which I just mentioned. A couple other things we just added on the site since Lotusphere, or just around the time of Lotusphere. We cleaned up the site a whole bunch. We now have in the Projects menu the ability for you to see current by date projects, current by category, current by rating, and now we allow you to rate projects as well as to view them by peer rating. So I hope you guys enjoy that. You can also now see downloads by date, by category, by Notes Domino Target version, as well as by project. We also now have the OpenNTF blog, which I don't know if I've mentioned before in a previous podcast, but you can find that at blog.openntf.org. There we'll, you know, have lots of things related to the site, and we hope to keep it pretty active, and I hope you participate on the blog. We also added RSS feeds. We now have one page with all the RSS feeds on the menu. You can on the site, you can find that under Forums and More. The code bin area of the site, as well as the application catalog, you can now, from the menu, add an entry. You don't have to hunt and peck anymore for that add entry button, thanks to Joe Litton for pointing out that deficiency on the site. And the top 10 projects, 10 most active projects, currently at number 1 is Help, number 2 is Blogsphere, number 3, OpenNTF Mail Experience, number 4, Web or Notes Survey Reports Discussion, number 5, Vacation Request, number 6, Real Workflow, number 7, Domino Wiki, number 8, Dom Bulletin, number 9, Mail Scan, and number 10, BB Log Analyzer. To see the 10 most active projects, simply go to openntf.org on the homepage, and it's about halfway down on the page. This has been your OpenNTF update for Thursday, February 9th, 2006.